You're listening to Senior Moves.
Welcome to this Thursday's release of the podcast, where we're talking about the impacts of disability on your parent project. Today, I'm joined by Sherry Simpson of Live Generations in Ahwatukee, Arizona, who's spent decades in the Arizona senior living industry, and she's really found a passion for championing the effort to make Arizona dementia-friendly. We'll be discussing national, state, and local efforts to improve life of the aged suffering with all forms of dementia, including how the travel industry is identifying and responding to this growing but vulnerable population. We're going to share some recommendations on how to spot and respond to someone traveling with dementia and how your family can better plan to help a loved one move around the country if dementia does indeed impact your situation. As always, we'll incorporate articles and resources from Parent Projects Magazine and SeniorMoves.org resources that have been curated to empower you and your family to dig in. Overall, there's some great information on how to approach, monitor, and address a range of dementia-related issues for your parent project. So I really hope you guys enjoy our content today.
You're listening to Parent Projects, a Senior Moves podcast production. Now here's your host, Tony Siebers.
Welcome again to our listeners and our podcast. This week, dementia is the topic, and Sherry Simpson, you are in the spotlight. Sherry, how are you doing today?
Good, Tony. How are you?
Awesome. It's great to have you with us. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me. I love it.
You know, for those of you that kind of follow along and look through the Parent Projects magazine, there's a couple of stories that we're going to hit through that you definitely want to pay attention to. One of them is going to be the Sky Harbor offering new help for travelers with dementia. You can find that over on the Parent Projects magazine. Generally, today we're going to be talking through on this topic of traveling with dementia and Alzheimer's and memory-related issues. We're going to talk through traveling expectations and what that looks like, what's going well, who's kind of on point for this right now across the country. We're going to talk through some personal expectations that you can set going into a situation where mom and dad or someone that you know that has a difficult time traveling or is starting to approach that, ways that you can set some expectations there and really help set the situation up for success. And then we're going to close up with some response, emergency response, things to plan for, just to be prepared in case things don't go the way that we were exactly expecting them to go as they roll through. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
Okay, fantastic. So with that, please sit back and enjoy this episode with Sherry Simpson of Live Generations Ahwatukee. Hey, Sherry, thank you again for joining us today.
My pleasure, Tony.
Okay. Well, hey, talk to me about, dementia, safe areas for dementia, safe nation for dementia, safe Arizona for dementia. When you brought that idea to light, it grabbed my heart. Talk to me about where you came from on that.
Yeah, so there is DFA, which is Dementia Friendly America. And I think we're all on a crusade to make America dementia friendly because it's scary out there for the loved one and for the family members going through it. There was an article recently in regarding Sky Harbor, our airport in Arizona. Right. And they launched a compassion corner. It's located in their airport on level 3, terminal 4. It's behind the elevator B in the chapel. And it is a private room, a quiet room, and it's locked. The compassion corner is locked. So there's always somebody there Monday through Saturday, and they can unlock this compassion corner of this part of the hallway. It's a big open room with a lot of stimulating colors. They have a bubble, water machine, which is very soothing. There's tables and chairs and a couch and that type of thing, but it's a wonderful way for somebody who has dementia, who's getting overstimulated by the airport, to just catch their breath.
Oh, okay. And this is outside security. in that Terminal 4. So most of, I think we've got some American Airlines. Southwest really is the dynamo, I think, in Terminal 4 that's out there.
Yeah.
Is it behind Elevator B, you said, right?
It is behind Elevator B, and just look for the chapel and it will say Compassion Corner right on the sign.
All right. That's a good start. So, I mean, how did you get to carrying off of this? Tell us about you there at Live Generations and tell us how you got into even caring about this corner of the world.
So dementia is my passion. It started off with my grandparents who lived with us. He had Parkinson's, and dementia is an umbrella. And underneath the umbrella is Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and Lewy body and different realms of dementia diseases. It's been a passion of mine forever. I've been in all realms of it. And I am on, like I said, a crusade to make America dementia friendly, and support any communities, any businesses that are doing that as well. So that's something that I definitely am passionate about, and trying to find companies that are dementia friendly. So that's where we started.
And I know you've got a good network of other people that speak on this and talk about this or have written about this. Jan Doherty's got a book of Travel Well with Dementia, The Essential Tips to Enjoy the Journey. Tell us how does that come into play in what Jan talks about in her book?
Jan is a dementia care expert. And she has written this book, The Travel Well with Dementia. She's also cultivated Live Generations Memory Care Program. So her background is dementia. She is the most interesting, amazing woman I've ever met. Her passion regarding dementia, and especially traveling, that's where her realm is at this point in her journey. She's innovative, and she's going to come and speak here. She's absolutely incredible. She used to be with Banners Alzheimer's Association, and I think she's with Hospice of the Valley at this point, doing some of their dementia training.
And we're going to put down in the description below the podcast, we'll put the link to Jan's book, The Travel World with Dementia, for those of you that are looking for it. And it's linked over to purchase it off of Amazon, where she's got that. So it sounds like we've got some awareness of this that's going on. The Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport's picking up, or others. You see the green lanyards with cactus on that. I understand that they're kind of making a play off of that in a slightly different direction to help identify people out at the airport and in some other places. What can you tell us about the lanyards?
Yep. So the lanyards you can get at the Phoenix Airport, they're bright green with cactus on them, obviously for Arizona. That is recognizable by the people, the staff at the airport in Phoenix. It is trending in all different cities, so I'm not sure what the other cities' green lanyard will look like. But the dementia, there is other lanyards with sunflowers on them, and that is trending across America as well. Okay. They're advocating for nationwide adoption of the hidden disability sunflower program is what it's called. And there's our green with sunflowers on it. Basically, it all cultivates together so that it's somebody with a disability that might need some help. So if you see somebody with a lanyard, it's green, whether it has cactuses or sunflowers on it, be mindful that that person may need an extra
minutes,
exactly.
And that's just that identification of that sometimes in a hustle and bustle, I think is a great thing for any of us that are moving, even on business or the like, to be able to see that, know that that's there. And I know to teach is to learn twice, they would say. So walking through that situation with somebody or being able to help someone else might help you or one of the listeners and members in their own walk. So
That's fantastic. So it sounds like with an identification of what that of people that potentially might have that problem, now we have the ability to start responding to things if there's an issue, so long as we set some stuff up. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about what I'd like to talk about is those personal expectations of setting up travel to make something go reasonably well as it can go. Right. For those that aren't, maybe you know that's a difficult thing, but you're just not ready to give up travel of right. mom and dad, of bringing them someplace, or they're not ready to give it up yet. And you think you can still get some of that out. Well, how can we do that safely to enable them that dignity and that ability a little longer?
First of all, traveling, period, is phenomenal. And traveling with dementia is just as phenomenal for that person. We have to keep that in mind, but we need to set the realistic expectations. So for instance, my friend who has dementia, sundowns, nighttime isn't her friend. It's scary for her. I'm not going to travel at night if I take her on a trip. We're going to travel during the day. So that's a realistic expectation of where she's going to be more successful and enjoy the trip.
Right. In general, how long do you think in setting an itinerary, what's a pretty safe window? I mean, each person probably has to gauge their own situation and know their parents, but right. Or a family member. But in general, is there a guideline?
Yeah, I wouldn't go anything over 4 hours, okay. But especially with one person, yeah. if I'm going to take a trip and it's going to be over 4 hours, I would ask for another family member to come with or a caregiver to come with, because it is exhausting for the caregiver that's taking care of that person, that loved one with dementia, and they need a break as well. So we have to have self-care as well as being realistic for the loved one that has dementia, yeah. and that is needing that additional assistance. So 4 hours is a really good time frame.
And how much of that's going to be an addition to the, you know, the 90 minutes to maybe almost 2 hours you might need to be there early to check in and to set all that stuff up. So now you're talking about a good 6 hour period of travel for them, and that starts making a lot of sense when you start around those boundaries. So, you know, so my wife today, and when she was dropping off her mom, I just reminded her, I said, you know, if you go downstairs when she has to check in her bag, she had a Christmas gift. So she's taking some things home. And so she checked a bag. Mm-hmm. And in checking that bag, I said, if you just let them know that you'd like to go through to the gate, you don't have to have an itinerary, be a passenger. They'll check your ID. And then you'll actually have that opportunity to go through TSA and go all the way to the gate. And that was it worked really, really well, to be able to escort mom all the way through. Security my wife noted that security, seeing numbers, you know, you're seeing numbers and you're seeing gates in so many different places that right. oftentimes they can get mixed up in where they are. You know, they know they're going to gate D5, but they see lane 5 at TSA and think maybe that's where they need to be, right? Or know, when do you hand someone a ticket? When do you hand somebody an ID? When do you hand somebody both? These were things that she could help walk through. And maybe more than anything, she had noted on the backside, she was able to tell other people around her in the most tactful way, just to alert them. That she may need a little bit more time, or she could slow a conversation down real tactfully. And that was really helpful for mom.
How insightful to get that extra assistance to go back and get through. Because I can imagine such an overwhelming, especially traveling during the holidays, that overwhelming experience getting through TSA, taking your shoes off, putting your stuff in the bin, waiting to be prompted to go through the machine that you have to go through, then putting your shoes on, let alone you handed them your ID and your boarding pass, or you showed it to them, or they took it and you don't even know where it is now. So,
right. Things that go out. If you really think about that process, it's designed by, you know, I know from you know, my past history in law enforcement, that TSA is designed and the airport is designed to not give a lot of preparation or information up front. It demands short-term memory of you. You're going to be told what line to go through at the last second and the type of people and what has to come off and when, and they're constantly changing those things for security's sake, right? To provide that protection. But, you know, mom really wanted to know what gate she was going to fly out of last night so she could mentally prepare for that the night before. And we couldn't tell her that because the gate wasn't given until just before they handed her a ticket downstairs. And then that's to say it didn't get changed once we got upstairs, and you're listening to other gates talk about where they're going, trying to determine if that's what you should be listening to or not, helping them understand to look for the person once they're at their gate, look for that person to have that microphone in front of them with the sounds that they hear. And if not, it's probably someone someplace else that's talking to them.
Exactly.
And or Southwest Airlines, they load planes different.
Right.
We love it. We've flown each almost a million miles off of it. We like it that much. I met on that airline. But all that aside, that is different than the way she's traveled in flight for her whole life.
Right.
Her whole life. She's used to having that seat ahead of time. So that is really something that we will think through again, even though we love that. We just need to know that somebody's got to be with her through that process, or else that's probably something short-term memory will have a hiccup with.
Right. And just send her the lanyard with the cactus on it or the sunflowers. And that gives TSA a heads up that, okay, they all know that that means that's identifying somebody that just needs an additional service.
So you mentioned when we were talking before, you were talking about like ID bracelets or Apple tags or GPS tags. And talk to me about that. What can we do? How can we use that to put ourselves at ease or just to kind of track stuff?
Right. So we all know if you have kids, if they hide in a store, clothing store, you're frantic. Mm-hmm. You don't know where to look. As a parent of six kids, they have all done it to me, giving me heart attacks. Okay. With a parent or a loved one, an aunt, a family member, anybody, a friend traveling with dementia, kind of hard to know what to expect if you lose them in an airport. But imagine somebody with that innocence of not knowing where to go or wandering off, not on purpose, how you're going to find that person.
Yeah. Mom turned her phone off before she got on the plane to fly here. So, and then she got in a little early. And even though we went to the airport to get her because of that, we found her down in baggage and they had changed the carousel. And, you know, my wife just said you could just tell on her face, like, oh my gosh. And she just didn't think turn her phone back on, and we couldn't get a hold of her.
Right.
So, a GPS tag.
Yeah.
So they have, go ahead.
They have ID bracelets. Mm-hmm. I think Apple tags is out, but it's an ID bracelet that works just like a GPS, or you lose your keys.
Yeah.
You can find that loved one. They even have inserts that fit into shoes. Kind of hard if the family member is coming from a different state to you and they don't put that insert in the shoe, but there's tons and tons of resources for GPS location for a loved one, for a senior that has dementia.
That's great. And you had, taken a picture, tell me that idea.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. So, I think if my kids said to me, mom, what are you wearing when you travel? Right. I would say, oh, I'm wearing a sweatsuit, black sweatsuit, blah, blah, blah. At least that they would have a description if I had dementia of what I was wearing so that they could pick me out of the crowd and they can send the grandparents over. If you know your loved one, if that your loved one is like, well, I don't know what I'm wearing until tomorrow. But if that the senior generation, they have it all planned out. So they usually know what they're wearing, but it's great to say, mom, let's FaceTime. Auntie, let's FaceTime. And then take a picture of what they're going to be wearing. So that if they do get lost, you can say, well, my mom has black hair, black glasses. She has something sparkly on her shirt and a black sweater. And I don't know where she is. Now let's go find her and go to security at the airport and show a picture and have a current picture.
That's great. That's fantastic. You know, let's, so now we're leaning into, you know, how do you respond if something's going wrong? Response, logistics, it didn't go as planned. Where do you, we talked about how you go and talk with, or the Compassion Corner, where you might find that at particularly Sky Harbor. Mm-hmm. Who, how do you handle moms coming in from Wichita or someplace like that? What's the best place to prepare for that? Or if you're having an issue, who do you contact?
Yeah. So, let's talk about mom coming in from Wichita. You need to have an emergency bag of with you, of their a list of medications, physicians, maybe some clothing. It's always good to have that little emergency bag and be updated on what they're taking. Have a direct flight. Don't do a layover. It might be cheaper, but it's not worth it in the end because it's very difficult for somebody to transfer planes.
Yeah. What's in that? So what's in that emergency bag? What are things you want to think of? I mean, like medications, I take it, something that can get them through a 24-hour period or something.
Yeah. Medications, a list of those. If not, some pills, if you're, you know, going in the same state and traveling together, obviously you have access to that. The list of doctors, physicians, so maybe some medical histories, a current picture of them is very, very important. Some water, maybe, granola bar, maybe they're going to be hungry. Maybe they have low blood sugar and they need some candy, maybe some of that nature. That's always a good thing to have just in case. You just never know.
Something just while they're sitting to reconnect with you someplace, just thinking through what they need to be as comfortable as possible. Okay. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And that's not a lot to throw on there. That's great. So that has got, that's a lot of good setup and things you can do ahead of time before showing up, setting into things, your response afterwards, and just those expectations. What are, anything out there that our listeners, can be thinking about, or where can they go to find more information, outside of seniormoves.org, on this, but about this particular movement about Dementia Friendly America?
Call me. Let's do it one person at a time. It's because it's going to take a village to make America dementia friendly. But all in all, set realistic expectations of what it's best set up for your person, your loved one. Travel with love for yourself and kindness for them and the people around you, because it is exhausting.
I love it.
To travel.
Hey, Sherry, thanks so much for joining us today. And thanks for sharing the message for Dementia Friendly Arizona. I'm confident you're going to succeed at this as you do everything else. You're just a point person for advocating for those that are aged here in the Valley. And I have zero doubt that you're going to lead to our members and other people to support in this as well. So good on you. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Tony.
Well, that's it for the Senior Moves team this week. Thanks for joining us. If you've enjoyed this content, remember to subscribe and share this episode on the app that you're listening to right now. Reviews and comments, they help us help you by expanding our reach and our perspective. So if you have time, please drop us a note. Tell us how we're doing. For more tips and tools to clarify your parent project, to simplify communication with stakeholders, and to verify the professionals that you choose to help you, you can find us at YouTube. Follow us at Facebook or Instagram, or join us at seniormoves.org. Thanks again for trusting us, and until next week, behold and be held.
Thank you for listening to this Senior Moves podcast production. To access our show notes, resources, or forums, go to seniormoves.org. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any decisions, consult a professional. This show is copyrighted by Phoenician Partners LLC and Senior Moves. Written permissions must be granted before syndication or rebroadcast.